You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing really good. I'm ready to have some fun. Are you having fun?
Listen, yeah. I just need to put out a disclaimer, I think, at the top of this podcast here, Sarah.
Yeah.
If you were not a fan of this episode of Buffy, season 4, episode 18, Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
If you, in fact, hate this episode and don't like when people like this episode, this might not be the podcast for you.
Yeah.
Because last podcast, Sarah, we talked about with AJ. AJ was here. We love AJ. He was telling you, Sarah, I think you're going to like this episode. And we all were like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like, it's a joke, whatever.
Yeah, Ruffy, then, you're like a Ruffy fan.
Yeah, Ruffy stands unite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you watched this episode. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know your thoughts on it before I watched it. I watched this episode and I was like, this is literally an episode tailor-made for Sarah. Yeah. It has everything you enjoy.
Yeah. Well, when your main personality trait is horny and there's a episode
plus college, horny plus college. College
plus his frat parties. Yeah. It was an episode pretty much made for me. I was fully coming on, you know, last week. I was like, okay, you know, we'll go fish this. Not that I'm saying that I didn't love Goldfish. It's pretty much the best episode of all time. Mm-hmm, but I was like, let's go fish it. If everybody hates it, then my inclination is to go the opposite way and stan it. And I gotta tell you, I don't even have to do that. I was like fully coming on to like, oh, I'll bullshit my way through, or we'll just like stan this episode ironically. Mm-hmm. No, like I truly enjoyed this episode a lot. I thought it was so funny. I thought that there was so many like funny or like silly beats that I really enjoyed. I was like, low key, this is a really good episode. And I once again do not understand why people have a stick up their ass about season four of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Everything that you throw at me, every single thing, I come back and say, yes, and what else you got for me? I want more. Just like how Riley and Buffy wanted more sex, raw, hard sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my feelings. I'm having so fun. Me too. Woohoo. As Anya
we all been new. The minute I finished the episode, I was like, literally, this is the episode for Sarah. She loves this episode. Where I land on it is like, is it dumb? Yes, definitely it's dumb. Mm-hmm. Is it also really fun? Yes.
Yes.
Like, it is hilariously dumb. I enjoyed myself watching this episode. I would not say that about every single episode we've watched. You know what I mean? No. Like, there, it's better, in my opinion, to feel something than to feel nothing, or to feel like so negatively. Like, the pack can jump off a cliff somewhere. Yeah. You know, beer bad, go to hell and never come back. Right.
Beer bad. I don't want to put beer bad like quite in the same vein as the pack, because beer bad was stupid, but it wasn't unwatchable. Where the pack was just like, we were like offended. Like, you and I both, well, I tolerate / like animals. You love animals.
Yeah.
And like, we couldn't handle the pack. That pig lives rent free in my mind. The episode where
RIP the pig.
Yeah. There was like some bug ass episode. Fucking hate bugs.
Well, I won't watch that again. The eggs.
I'll watch Beer Bad again. I thought it was fine. It was stupid.
See, I would put Beer Bad in that like bottom tier, but I think this episode is different, because I do think when people are like, "Oh, that episode sucks. It's the sex house episode." Like, sure, yes, it's the sex house episode, but like, number one, we still have good content in terms of hello, did everyone forget about the Anya and Spike moments? Because low key, where has this pairing been all my life? Like, truly, put them in a room together, put them in all the scenes together. They're hysterical. So like, that was a perfect encapsulation of like, people forgot about this and it's really funny. And then even if that doesn't like tickle your fancy, truly, it's so stupid that it's funny. Like, there are literal vines growing out of a bedroom. There are people who are touching a wall and orgasming in public at a house party.
I like, love that.
How ridiculous and funny is that? Like, I think here's what it is. And if you're a serious Buffy fan, and I don't mean like you love the show Buffy, I mean, if you are a serious person and you love Buffy, maybe you're not going to like what I have to say next. People are just a little bit too uppity sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, yes, the show is really good and it's really well written and it's really well acted. And like, there's a lot of fun themes and like cool stuff you can look at.
Yeah.
But it's also a teen drama, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a teen drama. And I feel like people sometimes forget that. And so we're gonna occasionally have an episode with a sex house. And that's that, you know? And we have to just laugh because it's stupid and it's funny.
Yeah. I think that it's kind of, it's fun. And I think that there's definitely going to be more Emmy worthy. I don't know if Buffy ever won an Emmy, but more like Emmy worthy television shows out there. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be, or not television shows, episodes. I think
this isn't a highbrow episode. This is a vibes episode.
Right. It's kind of like the old argument of like, is this a film or a movie? Like,
yes.
I feel like people are looking for the equivalent of a film. Like, we're looking for our Shawshank. We're looking for our whatever.
This whatever isn't on HBO, movie baby.
Won an Oscar.
Like, this isn't on HBO. Okay. This is a WB show.
Yeah. I'm looking for my Clueless. I'm looking for my Remy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Yes.
Like, I'm looking for a good time. However, if you are a person that wants to watch something that's on the Times, Warner, whatever, top 100 movies.
Oh, like New York Times. Yeah.
No, not New York Times.
They're the one doing the
Warner
the
Classic movies. Warner
never mind. I was referring to the New York Times recently put out a top 100 movies of the 21st century.
No, I'm thinking of something else. It's just like, get it. Not for you. However, I had a really fun time. And you know what's funny? You said to me before we started, yeah, like I didn't take that many notes this episode, but I remember.
You don't need to.
I haven't taken notes for an episode of Buffy probably like ever. I think it's like no secret that like sometimes I'm like online shopping while we talk about episodes and I have to have you like carry the shit because I'm like, oh, I don't know. I really like window shopping online. And sometimes I need a little distraction. Don't blame me. Sometimes I do work during my podcast episodes. I'm sorry. I'm not a good podcaster. However, I took notes today like it was my job because guess what? I'm a professional Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcaster. Mm-hmm. And boom, I took notes. So
wow,
anyway,
impressive. Yeah.
My first note.
Yes, please.
Well, I just want to say my first note is Anya needs her dark hair back. Pronto.
Yeah, because we in the previously on, mm-hmm. I had forgotten because like once someone has a haircut for a long enough time, you kind of forget what their old haircut used to look like. But in the previously on, we get a lot of like older Anya, and she I do agree with you. I don't mind the length that her hair is, but I really wish she had the dark hair still.
Yeah, she needs to get back her dark hair. That is my mm-hmm. main take. That is my number one note in my notes.
I would love to stay on this though, because I would love to talk about Xander and Anya first.
Yes,
because Xander has another job.
Yeah,
and it's my favorite one yet.
I love this job as well. This is now the crazy thing is that I don't know how in the year 2025 ice cream men are still running amok, because I gotta tell you, ice cream men are like a hop, skip, and a jump away from being a predator. They are going around. They got candy. They got ice cream. They got bubble gum. How in the fucking world are we still letting ice cream men roam our streets with the little like do-do-do-do-do-do-do?
Okay. Music? Do you want to hear something funny?
What?
I live in the suburbs and literally every single day, the ice cream man goes around with his La Cucaracha. That's the song that plays on our ice cream man's La Cucaracha. Mm-hmm. And it cracks me up because every day my husband and I joke that he's going to run out and get an ice cream. But like, my question is, what children are finding cash quick enough to run out and get the ice cream man's attention? This man, he zooms. He be zooming. How are you going to stop him? Well, I mean, obviously in the 90s, times were different, but I love that Xander is an ice cream man. He's wearing what looks to be a Dunkin' Donuts getup. Mm-hmm. And this is just incredible. This is an incredible advancement of Xander's career.
Yeah. Also, the amount of stuff that was in Xander's ice cream truck that was not ice cream was incredibly impressive. The cotton candy for days.
Yeah, there was so much candy in there. I was like, what is this?
I was very interested. I was like freeze framing. I was like, what kind of snacks? At first, I thought it was a candy truck, which, by the way, why don't we have candy trucks? Maybe that's because it's a little predatory, like, you know, like,
well, yeah. Hey, kids, you want a piece of candy?
It's maybe definitely. That's what it is. But like, I saw no ice cream. But yeah, I do like Xander's new job. And my second note was Xander has matured so much in a few years.
My note, because I do sometimes send messages to our little friend group when I'm watching, and I said, I feel like I'm in Bizarro World where Xander is telling Anya that there's more to a relationship than sex. Like, I was like, what's happening? Like, what? Because basically the gist of their argument this episode is Anya is upset because they didn't have sex for like 2 days. And she's used to getting to Pound Town every single day. And so she thinks, she jumps to the conclusion of, well, there's something wrong. We're obviously breaking up because you don't want to have sex with me anymore. And Xander has to tell her, girly pop. Like, he doesn't say that. I'm saying that. Like, it's normal. Like, it's normal to not have sex every single day. Like, it's fine. Calm down.
Yeah. Anya's insecurities sound a lot like my insecurities. Like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe we're breaking up because we didn't have sex for one night.
Yeah.
It's rough. But also, I don't know. I mean, not to get uber serious, but when you're a couple that is, it doesn't matter if you're like a once a day couple, if you're a once a week couple, once a month couple, when you stop going into that pattern, it's pretty sad. And sometimes you have no, in my opinion, or in my experience, you have no, nothing to say, or like nothing, like you're like, oh, like, is the spark gone? Like, are you not into me anymore? I know a very, like, a person with a secure attachment style, not an anxious attachment style, like me and I guess Anya, would say, like, hey, like, it's just impossible to keep up that thing, especially once you're in a, like, a rhythm or comfortable with the person or the excitement is gone.
Who has the time?
I mean, Xander and Anya, obviously. She has no job, which I don't know how she's living. Like, where
is she doing? Yeah. What is she up to?
It's not like she, as a demon for thousands of years or hundreds of years, got paid for killing all these men. Maybe she did. But
does she have parents?
Well, we know that she's a human or was a human at one point and then sold her soul like that, like Willow was able to. So at one point she had parents, but they're long gone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, where the hell does she live? What is she up to?
I guess she kind of lives with Xander, but I don't really know how she makes money unless she has like generational wealth or something from,
I don't know,
generations ago.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. It doesn't really track for me. But I thought that, I can sympathize with Anya feeling this way, especially because he doesn't offer like an explanation. But I guess once again, somebody with like a secure attachment is like, just sometimes it like eventually you just like you don't want to have or you don't need to have sex every day. The passion or like the pheromones flying all over the place dies, not for Buffy and Riley, but I guess in this situation. So I really felt bad for Anya, and I hate the thought that like, oh, like you don't have as much sex because you're just used to each other or it's not new and exciting. Like, isn't that depressing?
No. let me say it this way. I enjoyed Anya this episode, but her insecurities are my least favorite thing about her because I was actively annoyed when she's like, but we didn't have sex for 2 days. And I'm like, girl, calm down. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I felt like both Xander and Anya were overreacting in ways that were very comical, like, and really funny to watch, but also like, good God, I would hate to be either one of them in this relationship right now.
Yeah. I think it's more so it's just like the transition. It's like removing yourself from the honeymoon period. I think that, I think it just makes her even more human. And for a person that's been a demon for X amount of years, I think it's like so endearing for her to like, you know, she's feeling all the range of emotions that a human would feel. And this is one of them. I love Anya. Yeah. I'm telling you, if we just did our character rankings like a week or an episode later, Anya would have been at the top. And then like maybe Riley next, because I'm like insane. But I thought that they were funny. And I kind of liked them having their little fight throughout the entire episode, and the fact that Anya was like, screw you, I'm not going to hang out with you at that stupid frat party. And then of course she runs into Spike and then winds up bringing Spike to the frat party and is like very passe about the fact that he literally got trapped there.
She doesn't care. She literally doesn't care. And that cracked me up so much. Like, she's so upset with Xander because he's going to go to this frat party where he knows she'd feel uncomfortable because of the fact that they're like demon hunters and she used to be a demon. And then she brings Spike there after they bond over the fact that they wish they could just kill people. Like, they miss it. That killed me. I adored that entire conversation. But ultimately, I really liked where we ended up with Anya and Xander, where they're working together to get through all the vines, which we will talk about, to save Riley and Buffy. And let's face it, Anya doesn't do this if she doesn't care about Xander, because she's like, who cares? Like, they're fine. And she's a slayer and he's a demon hunter. They can get out of this just fine, right? Like, the only reason she does this is because Xander cares about it. Yeah. And I love where we ended the episode, where they're like, they're just like making little cutesy eyes at each other. Like, they're, like you said, they're past the honeymoon phase of a relationship, but in my opinion, they're in the best part. They're in the best part now, where you're like comfortable with who you're with.
Yeah,
you like feel very secure. I mean, maybe not Anya, but like you feel more secure in that. No, we have labels on it. It is clear cut. It is, we want to be together. We love each other. Like, we're willing to do things for each other. Like, it is, it's comfortable. And that's what part of the relationship they're in. And I just really like seeing them get there.
Yeah. Being comfortable is great. Like, it's really nice. It's really nice to feel like you're with your best friend and you don't have to worry. You don't have to freak out. Sorry, Belle, my dog. I have two dogs in here, by the way, because I'm babysitting one dog and Belle's in here. They're so annoying. Before, they got into like a little tiff on while we were recording, and it's like, please, like, don't fight. Now Belle wants to get out, but then she wants to come in. They're so annoying. I hate it. And they follow me. I am like a mother duckling, and they fucking follow me all damn day. I haven't been by myself, and that's including in the shower and on the toilet. I haven't been by myself in 4 days. It's crazy.
They come into the shower or they just come into the bathroom?
They come into the bathroom and just stare at me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're stalkers. I mean, they're obsessed with me. And I'm like, get out of here. Stop being so obsessed with me.
Yeah.
So I may have to like pause down and kick dogs out, but whatever.
That's fine.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Save big at Menards and prepare for the summer heat with a new air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Cool your space from anywhere in the room with 3 cooling speeds and a remote control. Save big money on Denali Air air conditioners. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
So that's where we're at with Anya and Xander. Again, like, I also, just because I'm going to say it, because people will probably accuse me of being hateful of Xander if I don't. I'm very, very, very happy with the character growth we've seen from Xander. I'm so pleased that he is not only in a position where he's not the one being like, why don't we have sex more? And like oogling people's boobs and stuff. And instead, we're at a point where he is like, trying to impart wisdom, relationship wisdom, onto his girlfriend. Like, massive character growth. I was very happy to see it. And also, he was really willing to just like go back into the haunted sex house to save his friend, which, great.
Oh my God, perfect. He was so, I loved his little, his like impassioned speech.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to like do it. It's like the right thing to do. She's our friend, blah, blah, blah. And then he like gets kicked out. And that's
immediately,
like, that's like really prime Xander stuff, when he's like, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be the macho guy. And then there's always somebody that like kicks him back down a peg. And it's like, no, you're just like a regular guy. You're kind of a wimp. Like, that's like probably the best Xander moments, where he kind of gets checked a little bit. So what did you think? I felt like he was a little flirty with that random girl.
Yeah, I did not like that.
I didn't like that either. And I
did not like that. Even if you're fighting with your partner, I feel like they're, I mean, again, it, to each their own, like every relationship's different. Like, you all know where your lines are in your relationship. But I personally feel like Anya would not have liked that. And I feel like he was going, he was being a little too flirty. Like, it was not casual enough for me to be like, it felt like he was pursuing her in a way that I did not like.
I agree. Like, I really didn't like that moment either, where they were talking, of course, like when he sat down to spin the bottle, I was like, oh shit, like, what is this going to turn into? But then she just started cutting off her hair, and then I was like, okay, like, maybe we're okay. But if he didn't start going crazy and cutting off her hair, then how far would it have gone when Xander's kind of like pissed off at Anya? I was a little nervous about that, I'm not gonna lie. And he has a history of cheating, so
Not a fan of that. I did, however, love the line of people are going all Felicity with their hair.
That was very funny. I really got a kick out of that. I did a nice hard belly laugh at that, of course, because we also cover Felicity on this show, which is not as enjoyable as season 4.
Season 4 is garbage.
We are in the trenches over here with
suffering.
It's horrible. So much so that we're like, maybe we should double up our coverage so that we end the series sooner. But season 2 is when Felicity cut her hair. And although that haircut was ugly and horrible, the season 2 was not of Felicity.
No. So no.
The best season.
Let's talk about the sex house, because
I love the sex house.
This is wild. So, like, basically, and I don't think they're necessarily, what is it called, mutually exclusive, but it's like Riley and Buffy be fucking, and they be fucking all day, every day. We got 20 minutes before class. We going to fuck. We going to go get it in.
Now, if you want to talk about what the best part of a relationship is, in my opinion, it quite possibly could be the moments that Riley and Buffy are in where you cannot get your hands off of each other. I love it. I remember when me and my husband first started dating, and that was where we were going everywhere. We were having a great old time. You and I, we like did a little vacation together. There was hickeys all over my neck. I was having the best time ever. Right, Jessica?
Yep.
Yeah. So I love this moment. I just wanted to share that. I understand where Riley and Buffy are, and just like the moments where they're just sitting and they like give a little look and they're like, yeah, like we have to do that thing, you know, that thing. And then they go off and have sex. And it's just so fun, so exciting. I eat these moments up. I loved it. Of course, now I'm in like the comfortable stage. So like, it's not like, you know, there's only one hickey on my neck instead of like 20. So it's definitely not like what it was, but these are just fun moments, you know?
Yeah.
You hate me.
No, I just, it was funny because of the fact of like, okay, they're having sex all the time, whatever, right? Like they're young, they're in love. It is what it is. But like, there was a scene where they are sitting in like hanging out with Tara, Willow, and Giles. I don't think anyone else was there. I think it was just that group.
Yeah, that's correct.
And the hands, like,
oh, come on. Who cares? It's hands.
No. It was the fact that here's what it was. It wasn't just the fact that their hands were just like this, the whole just on each other. If you're watching me in the video, just hands the whole time. Like, basically they were hand fucking. And here's the thing. It wasn't just that they were doing it constantly and it was extremely distracting. It was that the camera only wanted to show me their hands fucking. And it was so often and so much. And like the fact that they are at a house party, they are throwing a house party, I should say, because this is at Riley's house, whatever, frat house, whatever. They're throwing a house party and they're like, you know what would be cool right now? Let's go fuck upstairs. What, in the middle of a house party?
Okay, number one, it's a college frat party.
Oh my God.
It's not like we're having sex at the Met Gala. You know what I mean? But also, having sex at the Met Gala might be the hottest thing ever. I gotta say, like, I think that could be one of my top 10 fantasies. Having sex above like a raging party, that sounds like so much fun. I don't see anything wrong with it.
This is not the time.
And
like,
then
why not?
What's a better time
when you're alone?
They are alone. They closed the door. Riley has a fucking bedroom.
Oh my God. It's no.
It's a night party. It's not like, that I didn't have a problem with. And I didn't have a problem with the hand equivalent to footsies too. Because it's,
I can't. I am not a PDA girly.
Why
and
not?
It is like, because it's like, that's not my business. Like, it's like, go wait until you're in the bedroom. And like, the fact that they can't keep their hands off of each other for more than 3 fucking seconds, like, good God. Like, it's good just God. Like, stop it. Enough of this. Enough
no,
of it.
No, I want my friends to be that much in love, that much excitement. Like,
I don't care if they're that much in love, but just like behind closed doors is fine.
No.
So what is the point of it? What is the point of this for like 20 minutes?
It was just a little footsies, but handsies. I don't know. I don't really have a problem with it. If my buddies want to play handsies and in like the same area as me, like, pop off, who cares? And they did excuse themselves
to go fuck yes, which we very much appreciated. This house is haunted, right? This is a sex house, and it's a haunted sex house. And the reason it is a haunted sex house is because this old woman had a bunch of orphans there or something like that, and she is a God-fearing woman. Yes. And she was like, these children are too sexually active. These women, these kids, these girls, they have their long hair and it's attracting the young men. So I made them chop it all off. This lady is fucking unhinged. And so these sex-crazed teenagers just want to fuck. And that is leading everyone to be horny. Everything horny is happening. There is an orgasm wall. Sarah, what did you think of the orgasm wall?
It was absolutely beautiful. It was a lovely wall. So this was the Lowell home for children originally, before it was a frat house. And the woman was, I don't know, Mrs. Holt, I think her name is, because I remember like no fucking Holt house, but it wasn't called Holt house. So I wrote this down. They are apparition poltergeists, and they came from intense adolescent emotion and sexual energy that was feeding off of Buffy and Riley's sexual energy. And I thought, I was like, fascinating. Love a poltergeist. Who's your favorite poltergeist? Obviously it's Peeves, but now I got new favorite poltergeists.
The sex poltergeist. Yeah, they're basically sucking the life force out of Buffy and Riley fucking. And here's the thing.
Party. Yeah.
My girl Buffy, I feel so bad for her, Sarah. She's not allowed to get it in without it causing extreme evil.
I mean, a little bit of ruckus. Yeah. A little bit of ruckus, but it's not her fault. It's not
just
her
fault.
Just
let her live. Like, I just want her to be able to comfortably have sex. That's all.
Well, the thing is that, like, I think that during they were having a good time. Like, it was like, yeah, they were going to fuck themselves to death. Like, they were eventually going to.
Buffy looked a little pale in the lips as time went on.
I was like, yeah. I mean, their lips were probably bruising. They were going to woohoo to death. Just like how I sometimes woohoo my elderly Sims to death. Have you ever done that, Jessica?
So I
in The Sims 4, and maybe
I obviously done the thing with the pool, but I've not
in
killed
The
them
Sims
fire
4 yet. And maybe before, but definitely in The Sims 4, when your Sims are elderly, they
can't handle it.
They after they have sex once, typically they are like, "Oh, I'm having like strenuous heart feelings," or like. And then you have to make them woohoo a second time. And then
you have to make them.
You have to make them. They don't choose to. You have to make them woohoo a second time, especially once you have the little, like, my heart, it's faint. then you make them woohoo again. And then after that, they have sex, leave the bed, and they grab their heart and just die from overexhaustion. And sometimes with my elderly Sims, number one, elderly Sims are just kind of like there. They require a lot of work and not.
This is saying
time.
A lot about our society.
And then I'm like, you know what? Instead of just like waiting for them to die or like catching them on fire, I want my Sims to go out with a bang.
With a bang. Yeah.
So I'm going to make them bang to death And then that's okay. how they die. And honestly, that's how I would want to die. Having sex to death. If that's the way you're going to go, that seems like a good way to go. So anyway, they were feeling a little faint because they were getting the life force sucked out of them. And they were getting a little sleepy because it was a lot.
Yeah, because they've already been banging and now they're like banging all night long and their banging causes vines to trap them in the room so much so that like it's fucking George of the Jungle. It's Tarzan. It's giving Jumanji. And Xander and Anya have to like cut down all these vines to even get to them. And the worst part about it, Sarah, is like not just the fact that they're trapped inside when like the house starts like shaking and fucking spin, the bottles are exploding, and the orgasm wall is like truly making has a line out the door. It's okay. that they are not there to help. Like they're because Buffy and Riley are like two of the strongest fighters. Yes. And so to have them like out of commission is pretty rough.
It is. It
just
is
like the sex now, they were having.
Okay. If you were stuck in the sex fun house, where are you going first? Are you going to the orgasm wall? Are you going to the kitchen to get the scissors? Are you going to spin the bottle? Like, where are you going?
Probably the scissors. Probably the scissors.
No, don't get the scissors. Don't
it's the scissors because, listen, spin the bottle at a college party? Like, where are we? Like, once they said it was a sex house, I gave them a little more leeway. But, like, truly, I don't think any college party is playing spin the bottle.
Maybe a little drownies in the bathtub is what you want.
Drownies in the bathtub. That's where you can find me at drownies in the bathtub.
You're like, but, you're like, I'm a never nude. If I get stuck in the sex house, I will be ending my life.
I would. Yes, I would. Yeah. Because nothing, there is nothing that feels more embarrassing to me and like shameful than having an orgasm in front of an entire house party.
It's
like,
literally
believe that people
upbringing.
This is like,
there is nothing shameful about having an orgasm
in public.
Why not?
I'm feeling very like when Harry met Sally, like I'll have what she's having moment. Like I could not believe. Would you get in line for the orgasm wall?
Yes.
It's just it's the best
orgasm I had in my life.
That's not good. I mean, it's just, it's very like, it's just very intimate. Like, I don't need a house full of people seeing my O face. Like, I just don't need that.
Yeah.
Like, that's between me and like one other person. I don't need.
I really wish that you liked me enough to tell me what like you say in your last moments before you have an orgasm.
I'm not gonna do that, and I'm especially not gonna do it on the podcast.
Why?
Anyway,
are you like a completely quiet person? You're like, and that's it.
Is there anyone in the world that just goes, and that's it? That's the whole thing?
You. That's
oh, my
you.
God.
That's you.
Can I ask you, because obviously this house was like, because there's a, hold on, I got to read you this line, because I was writing again to our little group chat, and I said, oh, it's a Jesus house. Mm-hmm. And then I said, wait, what? The house both gives you a public orgasm, but also shames you for fucking. No,
it's not the house. It's the poltergeist. And they are releasing the sexual tension and energy that Mrs. Holt refused to let them exhibit. So the poltergeist are like ricocheting. It's like, they've been holding it in for so long that they are just blasting off like a 4th of July firework. They are uncontrollable because I'm not a scientist, so I don't exactly know the science of poltergeists, especially poltergasms. Mm-hmm. But I will say is that they could not stop and they would not stop until
my favorite is that this is the only episode where you're like, I know the lore, let me help you. And it's the sex house episode.
I was like, you know, I am a willing student. Teach me everything that you have to teach me. Mm-hmm. I am ready. I will get my number 2 pencil. I will take my notes. No problem. Do you want to teach me about the sex house? yes, I will listen.
I have a question, and it's the Tara and Willow stuff.
Yes.
Because they're like, there's a moment where they're sitting on the steps together and they're just like talking. And again, we all know they're very close. I have a question for you before I get into the actual meat and potatoes of the scene.
Yeah.
Because Tom Palmer, friend of the podcast, Tom Palmer, posed a question to us, and I found it to be very interesting. We know that at this point in time, networks, executives, really straight-laced folks were like, we can't have gay people doing things on screen. So mm-hmm. it's left up to our imagination and getting to see them do witchy orgasms mm-hmm. to know how far they've gone. So in your estimations, yeah. Sarah, Sex House, how far has the Tara and Willow relationship progressed in your mind?
Okay, I gotta be honest with you. I don't think very far. And the reason is because I think that the two of them are just dancing around it. And I pray that we get to see their first official kiss. Like, I think it's like very like subtle. Like, I think it's the hand touching the hand, like the Tootsies touching the Tootsies. Like, I think that like maybe it's like a hug that lingers a little bit too long, a smell of a hair. Oh, did you just wash your hair with Pantene shampoo? It smells so good. Like, I think it's subtle. I think it's like one of those, let's have a sleepover, but we wind up in the same bed, like type of thing. And like mm-hmm. they wake up next to each other and they wake up and they're smiling. But like, I don't think, and I almost hope, only because I want to see their first kiss so badly. I don't want to imagine a world where they've had first makeouts, first kisses, first intimate moments without us, the audience, seeing it, especially because of just like the evolution of Willow as well. And being with Willow since her first iteration, first season, where she's like uber dork, like can't stand up for herself, doesn't like, you know, drooling over Xander for years with an unrequited love. Like, I feel like I want to see all of it. And I'm curious if you have like a different interpretation or a different thought about that.
No, I'm pretty much agree with you. I've said that like they've not done anything super tangible, because to me, the way their relationship comes off is if they are dancing around it. They both have feelings, but neither one has really spoken about it. So I think the most they've done is probably like what you're saying is, okay, they fall asleep in the same bed. Maybe they've woken up holding hands or cuddling once or twice. I don't think they've kissed. Like, I don't think they've progressed that far. I think they both know they like each other, but neither one has said anything. And I think because of the fact that, like, we don't really know if anything about Tara's sexuality, but we know about Willow's, or at least like her past sexual history. And knowing that she's been with guys previously, and this is the first girl that she seemed interested in, there's obviously this like the little bit of a barrier there. And so, yeah, I don't think they've really progressed anywhere, but this is a really interesting moment where they're having this like more intimate conversation. Willow puts her hand on Tara's knee, mm-hmm. which again is a more intimate gesture than like one might do with your friends. And immediately Tara like recoils, and like, I felt like this was also the intervention of the poltergeists in the sex house, because Tara, I don't feel like she would have done that if not. Yeah. And she says later, like, this house is weird. Like, I want to leave. Like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, I agree with you. That is how I interpreted it as well. Or maybe it's hopeful or wishful thinking. Like, mm-hmm. It felt so out of character for Tara, specifically how she recited those lines. Like, whenever we see Tara, she's like very like even keeled, like very soft-spoken. The way that she like recoiled and basically was like, that is disgusting, felt very un-Tara-like. And I'm hoping that that's the case, and it's not,
yeah,
it's not because the other direction is that she's closeted. That was like way too far. And that was her, because everybody who's soft-spoken, like, can have their like freak out moments, and it sounds like when they yell or raise their voice, it sounds so out of character. It is a possibility. It's not, when I watched it at first, and my first interpretation of it was that it was some sort of like Holt House poltergeist intervention. But I'm also open to hearing or thinking that that's not the case, and that like she really did feel like a boundary was crossed, which I don't like as much, but it's a possibility. We don't totally know.
Yeah, the way I interpreted it was similar to what you said, where it's like the house infected her with like a shameful feeling.
Yeah.
That she then acted on. And I think that also was like what led her to being like, we gotta go. Like, I don't like it here. The other thing of note with Tara this episode is we find out she's a horse girl. And just makes so much sense to me.
She is a horse girl. Yeah. It very much feels on the nose. I haven't interacted with a lot of horse girls.
No, me neither.
Because the thing is that like, I mean, yeah, I didn't have any friends that took horseback riding classes when I was in elementary school or middle school or high school, but they are very stereotypical. Usually like mousy brown hair. And like, I don't know, they just have like a vibe to them.
Yeah. And Tara gives off horse girl vibes. And the thing about horse girls is the only time you're going to interact with horse girls is at the stables. So if you're not at the stables, you're never going to see the horse girls.
Yeah. And horse girls are very different though from equestrian girls. Like there's a difference because like we have, like there's equestrian girls that are like, you know, uppity, very rich, but that's not like a granola horse girl. So
yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, she gives horse girls to be specific, not equestrian girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I still like Tara, very curious. I mean, it has to be soon, right? That we kind of hear more about that weird like dust hiding thing.
We have to find that out soon, because here's the thing, like, right, we're on episode 18 out of 22 in the season. So, and like
4 episodes left.
Right. So there has to be a point where, first of all, something happens between Willow and Tara. That's happening this season. And then there has to be time for like the betrayal / misunderstanding aspect of it all. So that has to come before the end of the season. So it must be happening soon, which I'm excited for.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What if it turns out she's also a werewolf?
God, I would kill myself, really, honestly.
No, I'm just kidding.
I never want to see another werewolf on this fucking show ever again. They were the ugliest shits I've ever seen in my life.
Well, yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. And I don't even want to talk about the next episode title, but because I saw
we'll talk about that towards the end, but
later.
You know what we have to talk about next?
Okay. Hold on. I also, because I still want to stick with one more thing about the sex house.
Okay. Yes.
When Anya came in and she was trying to save Xander from drowning himself, all she heard was wailing. I loved when she was just like, shut up, cry babies. It was so fucking funny. Yeah. That was so funny. And then, yeah, they eventually got through the vines, which I'm like curious if you had any thoughts about what the vines meant.
I thought it was the house protecting itself so that no one could get to Riley and Buffy, but like their wild jungle love, like I don't know.
Yeah, like that could definitely be the case. I was also interpreting it as like when you are restricting yourself from your instincts, like it could feel like you're being like restricted by vines or like held back, or that like you're not being true to yourself, so that there's like some sort of like thorn type of metaphor. I don't know, something along those lines. I mean,
I could see that.
Yeah, something like, yeah, they felt restricted, so then they're like trapped within the vines. But I also think it makes sense of like the house is like, we are we are the horny, sexy poltergeist, and we cannot be stopped. We must protect. Also, when they finally showed all the poltergeists, there was like, yeah, there was teenagers, but there was also like 7-year-old kids. And I was like, ma'am, like, what are you doing here? This is I don't know.
This is the sex house.
This is the sex house. Like, I mean,
I think that's the point, though, because Mrs. Holt was like, everything in her mind was like sexual and disgusting and unsavory. And it's like, ma'am, these are children. Like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. Like, stop it.
Maybe it's like the fact that like, oh, maybe like the 7-year-olds are like doing their little kissy kiss, like your first kid. And then they're like, you're a dirty slut. You're kissing somebody and in the backyard, in the garden, I'm going to like cut all your hair off. Maybe it was something like that.
I think that's probably what it was. Yeah. And they looked dirty too. They didn't really look like poltergeists. They mostly just looked like dirty people.
Well, you know how like they were, she was like the crazy lady was like, yes, I took care of the kids for years. I love those children. I love them when they were good. And I love them when they were bad, when they were dirty little children. And Giles was like, yes, well, children do get quite dirty. And like, and Anya was like, I don't think that that's what she meant. They were like dirty sluts. Dirty little whores is what they meant.
Yeah, that was really funny. Like it that shit turned on a dime. It was like, it's like, oh, sweet old lady taking care of these little children. And it's like, no, they were dirty sluts.
I'd lock those kids up all the time.
My God, lady.
I saw one. You show me yours, I show you mine.
They were playing doctor and immediately put them to bed with no dinner. No, this lady, this lady would have hated, this lady would have been in cahoots with the school board that was like, you can't have pants with Juicy on the butt. That's unbecoming of little girls. Not allowed. Mm-hmm. No spaghetti straps. Not allowed.
Nobody can be Juicy in this.
No one is allowed to be Juicy. Oh my God. Okay. Where I want to go next is we have to talk about Giles singing with an earring.
Yes.
Because my soul left my body. Like,
yes,
it left my body. It is gone. I don't even know if it's returned yet. I'm a poltergeist. He, first of all, your husband, was he watching this episode with you?
Yes.
Was he excited that it appeared that the actor was actually playing the instrument?
He said that the actor was not playing the instrument.
And he did a good job faking, though, I think.
I don't know. Okay, so, like, we talked about this recently. He has, like, a stick up his butt about when actors fake pretend to play instruments, and then he can claim that he can tell whenever said actors play or do not play. I say, like, I have not heard him say once when an actor actually does play. I'm calling bullshit. I'm like, how do you know?
I'm going to look this up. Does Anthony Michael Head play? What's his, well, I don't think his middle name is Michael. Guitar.
Anthony Head.
Yes, Anthony Stewart Head is known to play the guitar. He's also a singer.
Yeah, well, so that's what I said. I was like, well,
so
that's
definitely it.
I said, well, that's definitely him singing, because number one, it sounds like him, but also I know that he's played Dr. Frankenfooter in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
There you go.
So I was like, it's definitely him singing. I don't know. Like, I don't really understand. Like, I kind of just feel like Adam, like, is
he's a hater.
Well, this is my authority. I know, because I play piano and trombone and this and that and the other thing. But it's like,
it's a great Adam impression.
No, it's a terrible Adam impression. He can do probably a better impression of me. Anyway, I love this scene as well. I love how he was like, yeah, I need some like lonely adult time. Like, please, I don't want to hang out with you teenagers tonight. And then he's like, I'm going to go to the bar and sing with my guitar and my earring. And what was he was singing, like, I don't know what it's like to be a sad man.
Maybe. I honestly don't remember.
Bad man.
I was so distracted by the pure sexuality he was exuding. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I loved Willow being like, Giles, oh, yeah, you have to look it up. I loved that Willow was like, oh, yeah, I used to have a huge crush on him. I'm like, girly pop, we all do now. We all do now. Because it was so hot beyond the earring.
Yeah, behind Blue Eyes by The Who.
Okay, great, perfect. I loved it. The earring, it gots to go.
It got
to you don't like it?
Here's my problem with it. It wasn't subtle enough because it was too thick. It was a thick hoop. I think if it was one of those hoop. Yeah. If it was a teeny tiny hoop, maybe I could be on board, but it was a little too thick for me.
Yeah. We're watching Ally McBeal, which I still am like trying to pressure you into checking out because
it's too many episodes. It's a lot of episodes.
It's not too many episodes. Get over
how many
yourself.
Episodes is it?
Plenty.
How specific?
There's plenty of episodes. Mm-hmm. So like one of the characters, I'm going to present.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So share. Okay. This is Billy. What do you think about Billy?
I need to zoom in.
Billy.
He looks like kind of your typical 90s dad. He's giving a little bit of Danny Tanner. I don't find him attractive. Am I supposed to?
No, he's a jackass. He got a new look recently.
Is he all gray?
No.
Or is he blonde?
He dyed his hair, bleached his hair, and he got an earring.
I hate that.
He's a nasty man.
He does look nasty.
We hate him.
He's trying. He tried out for Backstreet Boys. That's what the story was. Right?
Oh, they made stopping sharing your screen earlier easier. Thank goodness.
A little behind the scenes for everyone.
Yeah. Earrings on men. You're not feeling it.
It's not for me. I think if it was a thinner hoop, slightly smaller hoop, maybe I would have been on board. But safe to say, this had to have been a sexual awakening for many people because good God, it was great. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I mean, like, I prefer the episode where he was acting like a teenager, acting like a fool. He had like the leather jacket on. Like, that's my preference. I don't know. Like, people do playing instruments, like the boy in the band never has done anything for me. I've never been into like,
that's insane considering who you're married to. What are you talking about?
Music. He's not like in a band, but
he plays, he knows multiple instruments. You're telling me. Does he know guitar?
A little bit.
Okay. You're telling me if you came home. Okay. I'm gonna paint you a little word picture here.
Mm-hmm.
You come home. You don't have to work outside your house, but you come home from something after, let's say you're a weekend away. You're away for a weekend.
Oh, I was away for a weekend.
There you go. You enter your home, flower petals into the in the entryway, going down the hallway.
Yeah.
Into dimly lit, candles everywhere, living room with a lovely song being serenaded to you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On piano or guitar, whatever Adam feels like playing that day.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Well, yeah, like, sure, but it's like everything else as well. He also has like he's a good singer.
Exactly.
But I don't know. Like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, he's in a band. You know, I've never been like that type of girl that's been like, he's in a band. That's so hot.
That's crazy to me. This is why John Mayer can be a complete dickhead and still just fucks everybody.
I'm telling you, like, somebody literally chopping wood or digging, if you want to be like Anya, is 10 times hotter, in my opinion, than playing an instrument. It just is.
No.
It just is.
Because muscles go away over time, you know?
It's not even about the talent of a musician. It's about the force. That's not even like a gross thing to say.
I know, but it just sounds strange. It's not about the muscles. It's the force.
It's the force.
Anyway, this did it for me. I was very pleased with Giles's performance. It was giving Ron Swanson playing saxophone.
Yeah. Alter ego has like a secret hidden talent.
Yes. My name is Ripper and I'm doing an open mic night. Like, yes, daddy, please.
Yeah, the reactions were really funny too. Yeah, great. And that's like the other thing, like that's such a great moment. I'm sure that like everybody that thinks of Giles or Buffy like thinks of like that one of that moment as like one of his like iconic moments, and it happened in the episode Where the Wild Things Are in season 4 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And this is why we have to stop being so judgy, people.
people are very grumpy. People are very grumpy. I totally agree with you, because the Anya and Spike stuff and the Giles singing are worth the price of admission already. And then we just get a whole mess of other messy crap. That's hilarious. That's
funny. Yeah.
That's funny. Like, yeah, we have there. So everyone has to get together. They have to do this big spell because they have to summon the children and basically do a whole exorcism while Anya and Xander are vines.
Let's talk it out, kids. It's okay.
Yeah. It's great. I loved this episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even saying that. I mean, I'm sure there is an aspect of my personality that is trying to be a contrarian and being like, this episode is better than people give it credit for. I honestly believe that. Like, some people are like, this is the third worst episode of all time. Since when? How? What? I totally disagree with that. There's no way.
I was entertained for days.
Exactly. For days. What are we here for if not to be entertained?
Entertained. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. I loved it.
Me too. Yeah.
Perfect. Look at that. This has been great. I really enjoyed myself.
I had a good time. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all.
So what do we want to do first? Do we want to get into feedback, or do we want to talk through a little bit of the doubleheader of Angel that we watched this week?
Oh boy. I guess we could talk about Angel.
Okay.
Sure.
So we watched two episodes. So if are somehow here and you haven't watched any of Buffy and you're watching along with us for the first time, just be aware of that. We're going to be spoiling both episodes. So episode 18 and 19, 5x5 and Sanctuary, where we have a little sneak cameo here with Faith. Faith pops on over. And Sarah, didn't you know hugs cure everything? You think you're a serial killer? Go give that serial killer a hug. They probably stop it.
I know that I was supposed to like these two episodes of Angel because Faith is coming. It's a connection episode. Eventually Buffy comes. I was like, I don't like what's happening here, because like we get this like redemption, like storyline from Faith. And it seems as though we completely like backtrack that, all because she got offered money by the creepy law firm. Like, I don't understand. Like, hey, like, didn't we do this whole thing about how like she felt like appreciated for once and she saw the good in doing good? Like, didn't we just do that? And then she comes to LA and she's like, the streets of LA is gritty and dark. And then somebody from the law firm comes up and is like, I will offer you X amount of money to kill Angel. Why? I don't even know why the law firm wants to kill Angel, because he's kind of like ruining all of their, he like gone to the auction stuff and like stole like Cordelia in the auction. Like, I don't even understand really what's happening. Maybe because I missed like seven episodes because I kept forgetting to watch the episodes. Maybe if I watched them more closely, I would understand. But I didn't like that. I didn't like that. And then I didn't like how then like Angel was like, I want to redeem her. It's like, but we just had Giles and Buffy want to give her redemption as well, but only Angel can get through to her. Why? I don't know, because his dick is strong and like he's I don't know, like he's dark and mysterious and he's killed before as well, so he understands her. It's like, who the fuck cares? And then Buffy comes in, and even though Buffy is like awesome on Buffy, she becomes like a weepy little pussy ass bitch when she comes onto Angel, because this is a man's show and only like Angel has to be the strong man and Buffy has to be the weepy little bitch girl that comes and whines. Like, honestly, like, fuck this. I don't know.
So I'm a little higher on it than you, but I do agree with you. It feels repetitive in that Faith ran away at the end of the Buffy episode, but I also agree with you that I felt like we had reached a certain point where she realized the error of her ways. Right. Like, there was a redemption story after the Freaky Friday stuff. And so then it felt like we took a step back to bring her on to Angel and have her be like, what? Money to kill Angel? Perfect. I'd love to. I hate that fuckhead. Like, it just felt like, okay, now we're stepping back. However, I will give the show credit that, like, I do think it's like almost like Faith is the connecting factor of like halfway point between Buffy and Angel, where like her and Buffy can connect on being a slayer and how difficult it is to have like all that pressure on you. Mm-hmm. But then her and Angel have both done some real bad shit, like done some real bad shit that then they feel really bad about. So it made sense to me that she's connecting with him about her past and like what she's done and trying to get redemption and all of that stuff. Right. However, I kind of hate the trope of people are fighting, I'm hitting you, I'm crying and I'm punching you, and then all, and then you just hug me and then I weep in your arms. Like, it is, how many shows does this happen? Like, it's like so often that this happens that I get a little tired of it. I don't know. I also really agreed with Wesley that like Angel just let a literal serial killer, like, let's face it, she's killed a lot of people at this point, like a literal serial killer loose in his house and like didn't tie her up. Literally moments after she was torturing Wesley for hours. Like, what? Why are you just letting her roam around freely? Like, I felt like Angel was way too far over the line of like, she's fine, she's gonna get redemption. Like, way too trusting of Faith when he had really no reason to be. So while I really love Faith and I really love her, the scenes with her, like her dancing in the club and beating the shit out of people is so funny. Like, there's a lot to really, really enjoy about Faith and her arc and how it kind of ends with her turning herself in.
I mean,
that is like a really good ending to it.
Yeah. I guess like I'm most peeved by the fact that like Buffy tried to get through to her.
Yes.
Giles tried to get through to her. Wesley tried to get through to her. But the only person to get through to her is fucking Angel. And of course, this is Angel the show. Like, he's the hero. I understand. But like, Faith is our character in Buffy. So to have like Angel get that, like,
the win
feels so annoying. And it just like, for me, and maybe I'm being like too sensitive or whatever, but
no,
like,
I see it.
I just feel like this show is just for the guys. And it's like, of course, like only a man could like calm a hysterical woman. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It, because like one part of me says, well, he is someone who would understand her better than Buffy would, because Buffy has never done anything as terrible as like what Faith has been doing. And I think that the flashbacks we get of Angel kind of are a little bit of parallel storytelling there, where like we get to see all the shitty things he did before he had a soul, and even maybe a little bit after. And so a part of me wants to like defend it a little bit, because there, I could see where they're drawing the lines and connecting the dots and everything. But there's also a part of me that's pretty pissed off that we're finishing Faith's storyline on a show that's not Buffy. Like, it's like, not that I don't like Angel, It's just that like it's a little disrespectful to be like, yeah, Buffy went above and beyond and like really tried to help Faith over and over and over again, but it took her fucking showing up in LA and like getting hired by lawyers to kill Angel because he's causing problems with their law cases or their court cases or whatever the fuck. And and like, it just, yeah, it kind of sucked in that very specific way. I just felt like, why are we giving her so many chances when like she literally has killed so many people with no regrets, by the way. Like, she never has shown any remorse for it until she had that hug with Angel in the fucking rain after torturing Wesley for hours. Like, unbelievable. Yeah. Like, and I was so happy when Cordy is like, I am going on vacation and it's all expenses paid and expenses are going to your account. Like, fuck you. Fuck your life. I'm going on vacation until you have dealt with the fucking situation you created.
Yeah.
Like,
she's like, good on her. She's like, I'm getting the petty cash or the company card.
Yeah. I liked that. I also loved Dennis protecting Cordelia by not wanting her to enter the house when he knew that Faith was in there.
Dennis might be the best boyfriend that ever existed.
I love Dennis. So yeah, I ultimately like where we landed in that Faith has turned herself in, like she's going to be held accountable for her actions. I'm hoping this isn't the end of the Faith story. I don't think it is. I'm sure we'll see her again at some point. I'm a little peeved that like it just feels like the show, and maybe this is wrong, but like it feels like Angel, the show. It's like, we're not getting enough viewers to watch our show. Let's pull Faith over here and finish her storyline over here, so we force people to watch it to actually feel satisfied. And I know that's probably not true, because probably I'm sure Angel had tons and tons and tons of viewers. But like, it just feels a little bit, I don't know. I don't know the word for it. It just felt a little wrong. A little annoying. A little cheap. Yeah, a little cheap. Again, I love seeing Faith. Love watching her dance on the dance floor. Girl has it. Mm-hmm. I love her being like dancing with some other girl's boyfriend and then elbowing her in the face.
No, she's a lot of fun. And you know, like, I love seeing Eliza Dushku. I love seeing Faith. You know, I just feel like, I think you're right. Like, in a way, it's almost like we know people want to see more Faith. We want more people to watch Angel. Let's finish off this storyline. And yeah, what did you think of, like, Faith was like, oopsie doopsies, I accidentally tell you about Riley, about Buffy's new boyfriend Riley. And then also the conversation, I actually love this, where like where Buffy, because I'm such a Ruffy fan, because Buffy was like, says to Angel, like, he and I have like more in common than like we could ever have. And guess what? Like, I trust him. I like know him, and I've never known you. And I kind of liked that. That was probably my favorite part in these two episodes, where she was just like, fuck you, I'm happy, and you are perpetually miserable, and you always will be, and like, I don't need you, and I have a man that bones me all day and all night at the sex house. I couldn't even fuck you once without you turning into a freaking crazy sociopath murderer, you loser.
Yeah, I think one of my main issues with the show Angel itself is that I don't really like Angel all that much. I find him to be a little self-righteous at times, and I felt like it was really rich of him to get on Buffy's case when she shows up and he's like, it looks like something intimate has happened between him and Faith, and he's like constantly defending Faith to Buffy. Like, I'm sorry.
I think like
Faith killed so many people. Like, are you fucking kidding, bro? Like, of course Buffy is not going to be like, oh, poor Faith, let's just tie her up and be very careful. Don't tie her up too tight. Like, no, she's not going to do that, because Faith has been a fucking monster. Like, why? It makes no sense for Buffy to be like that. And yeah, I did like her throwing it in Angel's face, because Angel, my guy, how old are you? Get the fuck over this relationship. Like, follow the fucking Charlotte York rule of thumb of how long it takes to get over a breakup. Like, how long has it been? He should be over this by now.
Yeah.
How old are you? You're so fucking old. Like go find someone close.
Old.
Yeah. Get the fuck over this. Are you kidding me? This is a blip on your radar from your for the fucking how old you are.
I know. Shouldn't you be like thirsting over Darla still or something?
I did love Darla in these episodes. I always loved Darla, but I just felt it was worth mentioning. I love Darla. She's great.
Icon queen.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope we're not too down. I don't know if people love this two-parter from Angel or not, but like, my biggest problem is that I don't really like Angel, and he is the main character. And so it's like really hard to really love the show when like we're also spending time on the cop lady again. I loved Cordy, and I think Cordy always makes good points. And Wesley, I'm really enjoying as well. I think that's worth mentioning. Like, I'm really, really enjoying what we're seeing from Wesley. And I really liked, should point this out, I liked his storyline of like, oh, in come the fucking Watchers Council that got beat the shit out of in the Freaky Friday episodes. And they're going to try to convince Wesley, even though he got fucking fired by them, to help them out. And he double crosses them. I really liked that, because I think it makes more sense for Wesley to not be like, you know, such a fucking loser and go back to them after they did him dirty. Like, it made more sense for him to not do that.
They did do him dirty.
Yeah. Also, I know you said this back when we were watching Buffy and then they had a really bad kiss, but like Cordy and Wesley, I feel like there are still vibes there.
Been saying.
Well, they had a shitty ass kiss though. Remember that?
I know, but I don't even know if like they knew that Wesley was going to be on this show, because like
I don't think so.
I wonder if like Doyle didn't have the issues that he had. Like, I wonder if they would have even brought in Wesley. I doubt it, because like,
I don't know. Either way, I do think there's some vibes there that I'm really enjoying. I really liked when he was like checking in on her after she got elbowed in the face. It's very nice. But yeah, I just I liked, not loved, these episodes, and most of my criticisms are because of Angel, the character himself, not, you know, most
of my criticisms come from me being a grumpy whore.
Yeah. Okay, well, those are our episodes. Let's get into some feedback we have. We did hear from a friend of the podcast previously mentioned, Tom Palmer. He has feedback on this, on the Buffy episode. This episode is definitely dumb, but there are bits that make me laugh, especially Spike walking away without helping, and most everything Anya does. I also think this episode was an interesting check-in for our three new relationships. Mm-hmm. Xander and Anya have gotten past the point where they are having sex every 5 minutes. In this episode, they realize that they both actually care about each other beyond that. And despite them not making sense on paper, they do actually make a pretty good team as they fight their way to Buffy and Riley. I totally agree with that. Riley and Buffy are in the stage where they just want to fuck. Good for Buffy, finally getting to have sex with someone more than once. I'm just going to add in there in parentheses, bad for Buffy that every time she has sex, something bad happens.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Okay. And finally, we have Tara and Willow, who are clearly just platonic friends if you ignore the random intimate touching. Nothing to see here, parental groups who might complain to the network. That's funny. Yeah, I'm excited to see more progression in the Tara and Willow department. What is their ship name? Tillo? Wera?
Tillo.
I think Tillo's better.
Tillo's better.
Lindy says, Xander has a giant insects magazine in his truck. Is that something to do with the teacher that turned into a bug?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay. We also got a message from Michael from San Fran. Probably getting in here too late for this week's episode, but I gotta say that Allie's scene at the end of 5x5 is hands down one of the most emotionally affecting moments for me in all of Buffy or Angel.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're so rude. Okay, that was a good scene where she was like, just kill me, Angel. Like, please just like end me. And it's raining. That was a really good moment. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention it, but that
it was the hug that ruined it for me, truly.
It's really just like her, because like we see her like self-hate in the Buffy episode of her like punching herself in the face, and then a continuation of that within the Angel episode of like the amount of self-hate that she actually does have for herself is, for me, once again, really relatable. Just feeling like that, like absolute like devastation of like, I have no purpose. I have no point in existing. I add no value to this world. Like, just end me. That was very emotionally driven. And I thought it was well acted.
I agree. Very well acted. And I really enjoy the like continuation of Faith. You know, just kill me. I'm worthless. Whatever. It's the hug that fucking kills me every time. You see Faith's entire facade just crumble in an instant. And to me, this is the first time we actually meet Faith. Underneath all the bluster and callousness, there's no supervillain, just a scared girl who's been through all the same shit Buffy has and probably a bunch of other shit we never saw, but without any of the resources or support Buffy has had. Every time I watch this, my heart breaks for her again. And it's a reminder of how easy it can be to see the world as black and white, people as good or bad. But the truth is, you never really know what trauma another person is carrying and how it's impacting them. A lot of us would be capable of becoming the villain under the wrong circumstances. Anyway, take care of one another out there. Only you can prevent rogue slayers.
Thank you.
That's funny. I also got an email from Joy, which is very funny. It starts out, hey guys, we're finally here. This arc of Faith's starting in Buffy and ending in Angel is one of my absolute favorite arcs on the show. But before we can get there, I'm just going to barely touch on where the wild things are. I know y'all said you were going to stand it so hard, but I don't see how that's possible.
Joy, it's you just don't understand.
She underestimates our ability to stand something.
But I genuinely do. I liked it.
I really, I mean, I thought it was stupid, but I loved it. So like, I don't know where you'd put that on the, is it good or is it bad? It's kind of like when you eat food that you know is bad for you and like processed the fuck out of, like a Little Debbie treat, but you like, it's so good. You love it.
It's like a zebra cake.
Yeah. It's like a zebra cake. You know, it's bad for you. It's like Taco Bell. It's like, oh, is this going to fuck up my stomach? Yes. But also it's delicious.
Yeah. Get me that Diablo sauce pronto.
That's what I'm saying. I would take 100 beer baths over this. I would take 100 Go Fishes over this. I would take 100 The Packs over this. It's just awful.
Joy, you're DeLulu.
I feel so bad for Joy that she didn't enjoy this. Okay, now that that's out of the way,
freak flag fly.
It's time for part one of Gordy's Corner. 5x5 has Faith taking on the City of Angels. She beats the crap out of some creep, takes his money and his coat and his keys, and we're off. Cordelia is being a bit judgy about the guy they saved, who Angel is trying to convince to testify in some case. But I'll let it slide because I love her and she looks stunning in that scene. Back to Faith just living up her life and dancing at the club. The song playing Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie had me in a chokehold when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And that's saying a lot, considering at that age, I was mostly listening to country show tunes or religious music. LOL. I like that the dancing devolves into fighting, but Faith is still just dancing, reveling in the chaos. A bit more with Wolfram and Hart, and Lila is such a bad bitch. I kind of love her, even if she's evil. Appreciate all the flashbacks to show why Angel understands Faith, but that hair is so bad. It's so true. The lawyers hire Faith to kill Angel, and she immediately agrees. I feel like she didn't know that Angel lived there, and that moment is when she made her plan, because it wasn't to kill Angel. It was for Angel to kill her. There's a similar moment to that college bulletin board reveal, but this time it's Faith alerting Angel to her presence with a crossbow being shot at him. I actually love the conversation they had when Angel had to remind Wesley what happened when he tried to help Faith and was thwarted by him in the Watchers' Council. Cordelia was there for some levity, but the point was made. I also love that it starts with Angel thinking Faith is irredeemable and Wesley wants to help her. But by the end of the episode, that has changed. Faith toys with Angel, taunting him to kill her. Dennis is in this episode for a bit, and I love that he was trying to keep Cordelia safe by not letting her in at first. Faith decides to use Wesley to get Angel to hate her so much he kills her. She tortures him for a long time, and I don't know about y'all, but I had no idea there were 5 basic methods of torture. I did not either. I like that we get to see inner resilience in Wesley. He didn't break, which is very impressive. We get some kicky punchy, and then we get one of the best, most heartbreaking scenes. Just like with Buffy, Faith isn't fighting Angel. She's fighting herself. She wants it to end, but Angel sees right through it. He's not going to kill her. That breakdown, that embrace in the rain, Wesley going to kill Faith and then seeing her like that, Angel comforting her. I got tears in my eyes again. It's so good. It's so powerful. And it's why I love the show Angel so much.
I love that you love it. I just don't.
Yeah.
I do like the, I wonder if Faith was able to get there without the push from Angel, if I would like it more. Without Angel being her savior in a way.
I think so. I think so. I think my biggest problem is that like I find Angel to be pretty self-righteous. And so like I find I have a hard time connecting with him as character. And so because of that, it's hard when he's the one who gets the win, if you will, of helping Faith. Joy's comments on Sanctuary. I understand why both Cordelia and Wesley don't support what Angel's doing, but he understands the mission. This whole episode, everyone is against him trying to help Faith, but Angel knows she's not beyond redemption. Every scene with Angel and Faith is 10 out of 10. Angel tells her it won't be easy. The things she'd done will probably haunt her forever, which is true. Just because you feel remorse and try to change doesn't mean you're absolved. What matters is you don't stop trying. Faith spills the beans to Angel about Riley. I don't care about the elite Watchers team, but I do like that Wesley wants to protect Angel from them, even if it's not clear at first that he isn't on their side. The demon that Wolfram and Hart send is killed. And again, such a superb scene. Faith quite literally has blood on her hands again, and she can't handle it. And Angel comforts her before having a chance to button his shirt. And that is when Buffy walks in, because Buffy is back in LA. Angel clearly remembers the "I Will Remember You" episode, which, in case anyone forgot, that's the one where she like loses the memories at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I liked that. I thought about that episode earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Buffy is all about her feelings being hurt for what Faith did to her, but it's blinding her to the heart of the matter. The redemption of Faith's soul is more important than her personal grievance, though she is valid in feeling them. It causes her to lash out like a child and hit Angel, who hits her back, which also I meant to say, I fucking hated that. I fucking hated that because he's hit her twice now. Twice now he's hit her. I don't like it. She looks so upset because how dare Angel hurt her in support of Faith, but she's a slayer and is already stronger than Angel. So this exchange never really bothered me. I get why Kate's in the episode to bring the police element in, but I don't really care. I wish Buffy and Faith having it out on the roof could have been longer. I love that it was Faith's decision to turn herself in. She could escape those cuffs at any minute, but she's choosing to atone for her crimes. The thing with Buffy this episode is she keeps trying to focus on Faith in relation to the men in her life, Riley and Angel, when it's not about her. It's about something bigger than that, which Angel gets. I like that he pulls rank with her coming into his city expecting vengeance. And what does Buffy do? Try to hurt him by telling him about Riley and saying that she trusts him and knows him. I love Angel's reply because he can't move on and he can't be happy. He's processed not being with Buffy, but he still has the knowledge of that one perfect day, and seeing her tears him up inside. Buffy gets one more dig in, saying Faith wins again, and it might be her most immature and juvenile moment, because again, it's not about that. Faith is in jail now, choosing to be there. She has one of the best arcs on the show, and I love the direction the character took. What do you think, Sarah?
I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch the episodes with fresh eyes. I mean, like, I love Buffy, and I didn't really read it as such, but I don't have any problem saying that. I could be wrong.
Okay. To be honest, I totally forgot that the last interaction Angel and Buffy had was like that perfect day that now she doesn't remember and he does. So like, obviously that changes things a little bit in terms of like understanding why Angel is still kind of hung up on her. But even still, the point remains.
Last time you said it was the last time that they saw each other.
Yeah, that was the last time they saw each other, and that wasn't super long ago.
Was that not? Yeah. Okay, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Because it was definitely the season. So yeah, that sucks for him, but also like, seriously, get over it. Like, move on with your life. Like, please, my God. I don't know. I don't like the character of Angel all that much. And that's my biggest problem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a supersized episode. So next week, we're not going to have to talk about any Angel unless our guest wants to. Because we've watched two episodes of Angel this week. So we kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but like, we had to finish the Faith arc. You know, we can't just stop midway through.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to be covering season 4, episode 19, New Moon Rising, with our very special guest returning to the podcast, Hannah.
Coming back.
That's my guess. Either we're getting a new werewolf or Oz is going to make an appearance. I'm guessing Oz is making an appearance, mostly because Hannah has come on for like every Oz episode. So like, I just assume, I mean, that's a little meta, but
get off my screen. I don't like you, Oz. And I don't like your face. And I don't like your skank ass werewolf costume.
Wow. Here's the thing though, Sarah.
What?
I think the appearance of Oz, while it could slightly derail the Tilo of it all, I do think it is what is going to also progress them forward. I do think that it will inevitably result in them.
I sure hope so, because guess what? Tara and Willow is 10 times more entertaining and endearing than stupid Oz fuckface. Hate that guy. I don't know why. Do you remember why I didn't like him?
Said he was boring.
Oh, that was a little harsh. He's not a fuckface.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so that is next week. No Angel next week, season 4, episode 19. We're getting real close to the end of, I'm probably spoiling this. I think this is going to be our favorite season.
Our favorite season ever of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I really like the season. So
the best season of all time.
Sorry, not sorry. But yeah, that'll be next week. Anything else, Sarah, that you want to tell the people?
No, I have nothing to share.
Okay. Well, we're going to let you all get on out of here. We hope you enjoyed our standing of Where the Wild Things Are, because we really actually liked it. I had a great time talking about it. I knew this was going to be a fun podcast the minute I watched the episode, because I was like, this is fucking unhinged. And unhinged episodes lead to unhinged podcasting. So mm-hmm. what's not to love? Mm-hmm. But we will be back next week with season 4, episode 19, New Moon Rising. And until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.